bit about your background and how you got to where you are today in terms of your work?
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, it all started really when back in my early 30s, I was fairly clear inside myself that I wanted to work with people therapeutically in some capacity. I had no experience or background in that whatsoever. And I was a single parent working part-time as a teacher, so I really didn't have the money needed to embark on a training, sort of psychotherapy training, the kind of things that come up when you do a quick internet search on that kind of thing. And so I was a little stuck. And then I found out that Relate, which is an organisation that works with couples and families, they trained people to be counsellors for them for free in exchange for you working for them and seeing clients. And so it was wonderful for me to find this little way out of the situation that I was in. And I went off and trained with Relate and worked with them for quite a few years. And looking back now, it was a really good introduction to the shadow, working with couples and seeing the unconscious patterns that they bring to their relationships and the dances that couples do with each other without either of them really understanding why they're entering into this process together. And so a big part of couples work is helping people to recognize what they're bringing to the relationship from their past, from their childhood, that's causing them to be in this dance with this other person that can be quite painful and quite destructive, especially when you have no idea where it's coming from or what's driving it or why you're behaving in that way. So I learned a huge amount working for Relate, but I also had a strong sense I didn't have all the tools and skills that I needed to really be with these couples in the way that I wanted to be. So I started searching a bit further, and the next place I ended up was with body work, and I trained as a shiatsu practitioner. And I learned, if you like, a whole different side of the human existence and personal development, and the way that our stories, our past, our traumas, our wounds are stored in the body, often without our awareness at all for many, many years, and the ways that they can come out and start to affect us, and how important it is to listen to that information. So again, without knowing it, I was entering into this shadow territory of the unconscious, of the parts of ourselves and the aspects of ourselves that we don't know about. And one way that they get hidden is they get stored in our bodies, and they can come out as illness or aches or pains, or they can come out in our body language, our vocal expression, and so on. And then it was one day, actually, when I was having a shiatsu session, that my shiatsu practitioner said to me at the end, "Marianne, I think you should try some shadow work." And it's so interesting to look back on, because I didn't question it. I had no idea whatsoever what shadow work was. I just thought, okay, yeah, that sounds good. And off I went and booked onto the next shadow work workshop that I could find, which was a weekend intensive. And I really never looked back. It was so life-changing to be working with people who had the courage to go right to my deepest pain and my most traumatic experiences and dwell there and be with me there. People who weren't frightened of facing that. That's my biggest memory of that weekend. And so I went on and I trained in shadow work, and I really found it gave me those missing pieces that pulled together everything else that I'd been exploring. And I worked in shadow work for many years. And then recently I formed my own organisation, Healing the Shadow, which does a form of shadow work that combines and integrates the body and an understanding of the body, and also relationships and the importance of relationships in our healing. So that's where I am now. I run Healing the Shadow, and I work with individual clients, couples, I work with groups, and I train people. I run a 2-year training in Healing the Shadow.
Thank you. Okay, so you've mentioned this word shadow a lot. I think for the benefit of people listening, it'd be great to hear your definition of what that is. If you're
sure.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. Neil, are you handing over baton of being the definition guru?
I am.
Okay, unprecedented.
I know that's
okay,
a significant baton to hand over, but I am doing that, mate.
Okay.
Yes, I didn't realise okay. I was doing it.
Okay, I'm prepared.
I don't know whether
now.
I managed the rest of the episode in terms of acknowledging that, but I am.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay. Well, it's probably not a good time to be handing over that baton because the shadow is very, very hard to define, almost by definition. So let's see how I can explain it. One phrase that's helpful is the shadow is parts of us that we've cut off, repressed, or denied. So those are quite strong words, cut off, repressed, or denied. It's not parts of ourselves that we just don't like very much. You know, if I say to you, oh gosh, I'm quite lazy, I find it quite hard to go for a walk in the morning. That's not a shadow. It's an aspect of myself I'm struggling with. But I'm aware of it. I'm able to talk about it. I'm able to share it. Whereas our shadow sides are the parts of us that either we really don't believe exist, we're really completely in denial of, or they're aspects that we feel so much shame about, we would just never share them openly with another person. We would make sure that they're as hidden as they possibly can be from the external world. Does that...
Yes.
Give you a little bit of an idea.
Yeah. And with you saying that, I mean, I know some of this from witnessing your work. Can you say something about how that comes to form? So like from childhood sort of through a lifetime, how does that process evolve in terms of stuff getting denied? I mean, why would a child, an infant, deny something?
Mm, absolutely. And you're right. These do... nearly always get formed in childhood and often in the very, very early years. Basically, you know, the belief that I work with is that we're born into kind of a 360 degree personality, if you like. So we have access to all different types of behaviours, all different emotions, all different ways of being. That may not quite be true because I know a lot happens in the womb. So some of those avenues for being may even get blocked off before we're born. But we can see it as, we come into this world with a 360 degree personality and the potential for everything that can give us. But as soon as we start interacting with the people around us, we can get the message that certain parts of that personality are not welcome, or even that certain parts of that personality are downright dangerous to show. We have to survive in whatever situation we're born into. So if we're born, for example, to a depressed mother, we're going to learn very quickly that screaming and shouting and making a fuss about what we want is not going to get us anywhere. And it could even be dangerous for us. It could even get us harmed. So even at the age of a baby, we'll somehow be making those decisions and we'll learn to hide that aspect of ourselves for our own survival. As we get older, we get more verbal cues as to what is and isn't okay. We may be told, you know, oh, girls don't get angry or boys don't cry. We get the message that we're not going to be accepted if we show certain signs of our personality. Sometimes we might learn it from looking at those around us. We might see if we have a parent who has anger issues, if there's violence in the household, we might see that that's dangerous, that anger, we might decide that anger is really dangerous and we're never going to be like that. And so for that reason, we might take that aspect of ourselves and try really, really hard not to be like that and not to show that. So Robert Bly, in his book, The Little Book of the Human Shadow, has this lovely image of a bag that we carry over our shoulder. And it's a great image because what he says is that every time we take some slice of this 360 degree pie and we decide it's not acceptable, we put it over our shoulder and toss it into this shadow bag that we carry. So we're putting it out of sight for other people, but we're also kind of hiding it from ourselves. It's behind us and it's in our unconscious, if you like, but out of our awareness. And this is because we can't actually get rid of parts of ourselves. We have this 360 degree personality. We have all these aspects. So we can't just cut off our anger or our sadness or our neediness for example, and just disappear them. We have to keep them within us, but we have to try to hide them. So the image of the bag is a really powerful one, because we put things in there, we put them in the bag, it's over our shoulder, it's behind us, but they're still very much with us. And they kind of weigh us down in the way that having a bag over your shoulder would weigh you down. So as we go through childhood and we pick up these messages from our family, but also from the culture around us, we just cut off more and more pieces of ourselves and start putting them into this bag behind us. And, you know, it's not just things that we might easily label as bad. You know, it's not just things, say, maybe anger, jealousy, rage, selfishness. We can also get the message that it's not okay, say, to be enthusiastic. We may get the message it's not okay to be sensual, to enjoy our body. We may get the message it's not okay to shine. So we can also put more golden aspects of ourselves into shadow as well. Any quality at all that seems to be unsafe for us or undesirable during childhood, we put away in order to survive in the situation that we find ourselves.
That makes sense. Okay. Alexander, anything from you at this juncture in response to what Marianne said, or a question?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a question, but I also just, I just feel very lucky to have you joining us on the podcast. I appreciate so much how fluent you are in this, and you know, you're just clearly come across that you've worked with this for years, and I'm just very grateful that this very difficult topic, which none of us want to acknowledge by its nature, that you can just spell it out, because I think, certainly for me, I feel like it's feelings that lead us to work with this stuff. And if it's something that we repress and that we've avoided or that we've denied for such a long time, then it's only feelings that are going to lead us to open up that bag and begin exploring and healing things. So I just very much appreciate how clearly you're able to deliver this. It's really, I think it's incredibly rare. I might mention shadow stuff to my clients, but there's no way I could unpack it in the way that you can. So, okay, question. So going from that's what shadow is and that's where it comes from, I guess my next question is, how does this show up? How does it manifest in someone's life? What is it? What behaviours and stuff is cropping up in people's life that might eventually lead them to want to work with this? How does it show up, I guess?
Yeah, a good question. The first really important thing to say is that this is a very natural and healthy process that we all go through to hide these parts. It wouldn't be desirable or helpful for anybody just to have all of their parts hanging out and be expressing these sides of ourselves that, you know, that we learned were dangerous. And one reason for that is because when we put a side of ourselves away, say we put our anger away, we stop learning how to manage that side of ourselves. So my belief is that anger's really healthy, really essential part of our nature that we need to have a rich and happy life. But if we've put our anger away as a child, we've never got to know it. We've never learned to handle it. We've never let it grow and mature with us into adulthood. Then if we just start trying to let that hang out and get to know, you know, express our anger, get to know it, claim it, it can come out really, really dangerously and badly. And this is why the shadow has so much kind of fear and trepidation around it, because we don't know that aspect of ourselves. It's almost like it degrades once it gets put into the shadow bag, and it turns into something that's yucky and unpleasant. And so we really need to take time to get to know that side of ourselves and allow it to find out how to wear it and how to mature it and what an adult version of that looks like before we just go and start acting like that in the real world. So it's a healthy and necessary process to put these things into shadow. And they serve us, you know, they help us to grow. They help us through that period of our life, usually our teens and our 20s into our 30s, perhaps, when we really need to be out in the world. And it's important to hide certain aspects of us, to find the success, the recognition, and the achievement that we need. Or to raise children, for example, we may have to hide a lot of sides of ourselves to raise children. But at some point, for most of us, we find that the weight of this bag, if we go back to that metaphor, the weight of this bag starts to drag us down and our life starts to have less colour, less vitality. We don't know what, but we know that something's kind of making us sluggish, taking the joy out of things. And so that's something that people tend to notice as a first sign, perhaps, that there may be something to look at, that there may be something to work on here, even though they don't know what it is. Once you start being interested in exploring your shadow, there's some kind of detective work that you can do. And this is why I was saying it's really hard to define, because it's either entirely or almost entirely in our unconscious. So we have to be detectives and try and look out for signs of these parts of ourselves that we've hidden, you know, from ourselves as well as other people. The classic and best way to explore what your own shadow is to look at those things that you really judge in other people. And this is known as a concept known as projection, in that when we have aspects of our own personality that are so painful to us that we can't accept them. As I said before, we can't get rid of them. So kind of the way we deal with that is we project them. We see them out there in the world. We see other people holding these aspects. So, of course, we all have judgments of other people. We think that they shouldn't be like this or they shouldn't be like that, or we don't like a certain way. But when there's a real kind of almost venom to it, it's like, this is not okay. There's something so wrong with him. He's so angry. That's just really not okay. Or she's so selfish. That's appalling. Or she's so big-headed. Look at her. Who does she think she is? There's a real energy to it. And when we have those kind of judgments and we can't let them go, it's really helpful to think, okay, that might be true. Of course, the other person might be behaving that way. But is there something about me here? Is it that I am also angry, but I don't know it? Or maybe I'm also lazy, but I don't really know that side of myself. Or maybe I'd quite like to be big-headed, you know, but I don't. I really squash that side of myself down. So that's an exploration that you can only do for yourself. I very strongly recommend against pointing out to anybody else what their shadows might be if they're having judgments of other people. But it's an exploration that you can do for yourself if you find yourself judging others. Similarly, for the golden shadow, if you find yourself admiring others. Neil, I think I heard you say earlier, you know, you thought you could never be living the life you are now.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at other people and think, I could never do that. You know, I could never stand up and speak in public. I could never be so spontaneous. Mm-hmm. You know, I could never be so creative, whatever it is. Then it could be that that's an aspect of yourself that you cut off and put away. And you're seeing it in that other person and kind of longing for it, but longing for it in a way where you don't even believe you would ever get it. You're completely convinced, because it's in your shadow and because you're in denial of it, you're completely convinced that that's not a part of you and not a way you could ever be. So it's helpful just to dwell in those moments and think, maybe I could. Maybe that is a very, very hidden aspect of me. And that could be the beginning of starting to reclaim something for yourself.
It's interesting as you talk, because I think this whole notion of a golden shadow is kind of gold dust, really. I mean, like you said, when you say the word shadow or the concept of shadow, inevitably almost people will think of something murky and dark and what have you. But as soon as you offer the invitation to someone to say, oh, maybe there's something golden that you've buried. I mean, just as you referred to me and my experience, you know, here today, I just had this image of me as a effervescent, bubbly little blonde-haired boy, and like some of that has gone. It's almost like some of that is to be reclaimed. It hasn't all gone, but you know, so for me there's something there which is really, it's like, oh, I've got permission to, it's quite a revelation, this notion of kind of golden shadow for me. Yeah,
and that's true of any shadow. There isn't really a distinction, it's just the way that we tend to categorize things in our society.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have anger in shadow, there's, you know, that's also a golden shadow. There's so much gold to reclaim. I mean, how in awe are we of people who can really express their anger in an open and clear way and stand up for themselves in an integrated way that's also respectful?
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. I find that wonderful to be around. So there's real gold in even the darkest shadows that we think couldn't possibly hold anything good.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Alexander, anything from you at this point?
Yep. Again, I'm just sitting here with slightly slack-jawed amazement, just hearing the stuff being unpacked so well. So, but I can fire another question, if that would be good. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
So if someone decides to engage in shadow work, let's say that they get in touch with you and then they come to see you in Froome, mm-hmm. What's it like? What do they experience?
Great question. It depends. There are two ways you can access shadow work. Well, there's three ways couples work, but I won't talk about that now. But as an individual, you can come for a one-to-one session, or you can come and join a group workshop. So I'll talk about the one-to-one sessions first. What it looks like is we have a carpet in the middle of the room, which represents your inner world. So if you like, all of these different parts that we've been talking about, all of that 360 degrees is there on the carpet in your inner world. But you're obviously not aware of all of those, and that's why you're coming. So depending on what you want to work on, what we do is we try to represent all the different parts that are playing out in your life right now on that carpet so that we get a picture of your inner world and what your inner world's looking like around the issue that you're coming to explore. So we do this with coloured cloths. I work with coloured cloths, which works well for most people. Some people wouldn't want to touch a coloured cloth or anything that kind of expressive. But I work with coloured cloths and invite you to wear a big coloured cloth, you know, several metres long, wrap it round you, stand on the carpet in the place of this part you want to explore, and then allow yourself to completely become that part of you. So if someone comes to me aware, bringing an issue perhaps of jealousy with their partner, then they may step into the part of themselves that feels jealous. So they'll choose a coloured cloth. They'll stand on the carpet where they imagine that that jealous part of them lives, wrap the cloth around themselves. And probably for the first time in their lives, they'll have full permission to be that jealous part. They can feel it in their body. Maybe it wants to lie down. Maybe it wants to jump around. Feel into the posture of it, how it lives in their body. And they can speak whatever that jealous part is speaking, any thoughts and feelings that are going on. So that is a very powerful process because it seems to get just a little bit under the conscious level of what that person's aware of. Simply the permission to just be that part of themselves in a safe space where there's no real life consequences allows them to kind of access it and find out about it in a way that they've never done that before. So then after that, they leave the coloured cloth that they chose on the carpet in that spot, come back to their seat. And there's another sort of phase of working, aspect of the work, which is where they sit in their seat and we discuss, we look at the carpet and talk about that part from the outside and have a discussion about it and how it lives in their life and whether they like it or not, whether other people like it or not, what it's like for them and so on, how long it's been around in their life. So there's a mixture of stepping in and really feeling and exploring parts of yourself from the inside and then stepping back and discussing from the outside and gaining insights into what's going on. So we'll spend the sessions, well, the first session anyway is 5 hours, which you can perhaps wow. start to imagine you'll need to do all of this because it's slow and careful work. We'll then explore different parts of the client, and the client's always in control of the session. It's so important when you're working with the shadow that you choose what you want to look at, what you want to unpick, what you want to explore. And you choose absolutely that there are certain things you don't want to explore or look at. It's very important to make that choice consciously. So you'll choose what parts you want to explore and step into them as I've described and explore them, step out and talk about what's going on. And we begin to build up a picture of what's going on in your inner world. once we've built up that picture, we'll then start to think about, what do you want to change? What needs to be different here in the way your inner world looks in order for you to have the change that you're coming for? So we've laid it out so far exactly as it is, even if it's really painful and difficult, because that's part of the seeing aspect. That's part of bringing it out of shadow, as I was talking about before, and really understanding yourself. And then we look at, okay, what needs to change here? And you as the client will usually have a really clear idea of how you want this scene, this pattern that's living inside of you to change. And so I'll help you go back onto the carpet and do some energetic work to bring about that change so that your inner world looks different once you leave at the end of the session. And, you know, the belief that I work with is that the way our inner world looks is reflected in the way that we experience the outer world. So if you leave with your inner world looking different, then the belief is, and my experience is, that you will go away and then you will experience the outer world in a different way that reflects your new inner patterning.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. That's really clear.
Yeah. And with groups, the principle is exactly the same, but it's brought to life a little more in that other people wear the cloths for you. So once you've decided what another part is saying or doing, you can bring it to life with another member of the group representing that part for you, and you can see different parts of yourself, different people in your life interacting. But the principles of the work are exactly the same, whichever way you access it.
Thank you. One of the things I wanted to cover today was stuff about shame. I know through witnessing your work that working with shame is a really big kind of part of it. I know that Alexandra, in your book and your work, you talk a lot about shame, don't you? And
yeah.
I think about it in terms of, like, so here I am sat listening to you, Marianne, and I think about what's in shadow for me and the kind of blockages which I encounter to kind of even get near some of that stuff. I mean, I think I've done a fair amount of personal work, but still for me, it's like my anger, for example. You know, I think, you know, I'm in a men's group, and just kind of showing that anger for me is incredibly challenging. I'm so guarded and sort of defensive around that. I'll do anything but kind of get really angry until a gasket really blows and I've got no choice, and it doesn't just leak out, it explodes out. So, yeah, can you just talk a bit about shame and what it means in the work that you do and how you work with it?
Yeah, sure, of course. I mean, shame is so intimately bound up with the shadow in my experience that that's a really important question. Let me just talk a bit about my take on shame. I mean, shame, in my experience, is a belief that there's something wrong with us. And it comes close in hand with guilt, which is a belief that we've done something wrong. And of course, there's healthy shame and guilt when we really have done something wrong or made a mistake and we need to apologise, we need to do something about it. But what we're talking about in shadow work is what's sometimes known as toxic shame or toxic guilt, which is where these are deeply held beliefs about us, that there is something wrong with us, that we're bad in some way, that we've done something terribly wrong. And this is actually a device, a survival device, for children. If they end up in a situation where something scary is happening to them, for example, let's take an example of living in a violent household where there's a lot of anger. It can be far too scary for a child to sit with the fact that there are these huge people around them, four or five times their size, who are unpredictable, scary, angry. So psychologically, a child wouldn't be able to survive if they just accepted that that was the situation that they were living in. So there's a trick that we kind of play on ourselves to help us to survive as children, which is actually to start believing that we've caused that, we've done something wrong or bad, we're getting something wrong, we're doing something wrong, or we are something wrong. And that's why the people around us are angry or unpredictable. Now, that's a very painful belief to take on. But it serves because it gives that child some control, some sense of autonomy over their life. If I'm getting something wrong, if there's something wrong with me, I can change that. I can try to be better, or I can try to hide that part of myself and not be like that. And then I can influence what's going on around me. It's not true. It's a lie, in my mind anyway. You know, it's the people around children who are responsible for their own behaviour. But it's a lie that kind of helps that child survive because they have a sense of agency and belief that they can change their situation. Now, unfortunately, what they take from that is a sense of this toxic shame. So they start to live with a belief that there's something intrinsically wrong with them, or they're doing something wrong, or they're bad in some way. So this experience of shame, I think it's probably fair to say, is really at the core of anybody's experience when they come for shadow work. For whatever reason, they've cut off these parts of themselves because they believe there's something wrong or bad about them, and they feel shame about that. So one of the most important things we focus on when we're working with clients or creating a space for shadow work to happen, is to try and create a shame-free environment. Now, when people are shaming themselves, that can not be under our control, because people don't need any stimulus to shame themselves quite often. They'll do that very freely. But we can actively work to lift that shame as much as possible. And one thing that I think really helps with that is the belief that all parts of us formed with a good intention. All parts of us have this gold that you were talking about, Neil. All parts of us have something to offer, and were originally put in place for very good reason, to serve us in some way. If we can help people to understand that, it can make it less shameful to acknowledge the existence of certain parts, because there's a belief, there's a purpose in that, if you like. There's a purpose in acknowledging the existence, in that that can lead to finding out what the gold is, or what the original intention of that part was. And to know that you're doing that work with people who aren't holding any judgment about those parts and how they show up. So you like the idea, Neil, of our phrase, all parts of you are welcome here.
Yes, I do. Yes, very much. It's very kind of permission giving. It's like, it's very allowing. It's like, right, I can step into a space like this, and I can, even though it can be scary, if I'm stepping into a space where I know that all parts of me are welcome, and people, that those aren't just words, that's really operationalized, then in my experience of doing this work, then that's a game changer. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. That's a key thing, to really create that environment for people and be clear that that's the belief that we're holding as we work with them. And also that we've done shadow work ourselves. I think it's really helpful for people to know that. One of the principles I have is I never ask a client to do anything that I haven't done myself, you know, to take part in any process that I haven't taken part in myself. The other way that we work to create this shame-free space is to provide a space for the client where there are no real-world consequences to exploring this side of themselves. So, Neil, you know, you described blowing like a gasket with your anger. Now, there's a risk, obviously, to doing that, to bringing out your anger, say, at work, or even with your partner, with your children, if it's going to explode in a way that you just feel out of control and possibly feel ashamed of. So we create a space where people can step into those parts where there's no real world consequences. And we try to help them understand the difference of that, that they can explore it here, and actually it doesn't matter how it comes out. It can be as ugly as you like. You're not going to harm anybody. You're not going to upset or offend anybody. So you can try it on. And that's really important, because the paradox is, if you never step into that part and you never try it on, it goes more and more into shadow and gets more and more potentially dangerous and potentially shaming. So you need somewhere where you can, you know, let the lid off that, and you can let that part out. And for a client to understand, yes, in this space, I can do that. Nobody's going to get hurt physically or emotionally. Then they can take that risk of stepping into that place that they feel shame about and letting that aspect be seen. And paradoxically, as soon as they've done that, they've taken some control over it. As soon as you know what that side of you looks like, how it's going to come out, what it's going to say, what the body language is, what the facial expressions are, you can then begin to have control over it and to choose whether to do that or not and how to do it as you start to practice and, as I said earlier, kind of learn to wear that part of yourself and see what it feels like to do that.
Thank you, Marianne. That's really helpful. I mean, like I said, it's a bit of repetition here, but for me, that's a really big piece working with the shame. And we're of time for us here and now. We're coming towards the end. I don't want to cut you off bluntly shortly. I'd like to, just for the last bit, Marianne, I'd like to hear from you, what's your learning edge at the moment in terms of your development with shadow work? Is there anything that you're kind of developing that, yeah, it's kind of a learning edge for you, new stuff in your life?
Thank you. That's a very good and pertinent question. And I'll try and bear in mind that we're coming towards the end. Sure. And I won't talk about it for too long. But my learning edge in this work at the moment is the communication work that I do. So this is a framework that I've developed that I use with couples and families. We also use it in our training to keep clean and clear communication between all of the trainees and everybody in our community. And, you know, this for me is really where it's all at for changing ourselves as a human being and changing our experience of life, is bringing the work out of the therapy room and into real life and holding our shadows, discussing our shadows, sharing our shadows, being able to be fully authentic with another person in a respectful way, where we can come to understand and see them differently and become more deeply connected to them and move the relationship hopefully forward and to a different depth of understanding. So that's work that I'm really passionate about at the moment and I'm exploring.
Okay, we have rattled through. It's interesting, I'm sat here quite sort of touched and quite moved as you talk about the shadow and sort of, you know, personal quiet reflections going on for me. So I'd like to thank you, yeah, hugely for coming on today, Marianne. Thank you. I think it's been really rich, quite sort of different sort of material for us. And it's been a pleasure to largely sit back and listen. So thank you for coming along today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been lovely to be here.